Sahana vavatu, sahana punaktu, sahaviryankaravavahai, tejasvinavaditamastumavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 5, Bhagavan is the object of all Vedic knowledge. Page 87. At this point, the Lord might object that merely destroying the ignorance of the jivas will not suffice to bring them to his lotus feet, since the jiva soul, even after his ignorance is dispelled, cannot attain the Lord without engaging in devotional service. As the Lord states in his own words, Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya, I am attainable only through devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. To this objection, the Shrutis reply, My Lord, you who awaken all energies, after creating the intelligence and senses of the living entities, you inspire them to work hard and enjoy the fruits of their labor. In addition, by your mercy, you awaken their ability to pursue the progressive paths of knowledge, mystic yoga, and devotional service, allowing them to advance towards you in your aspects of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, respectively. And when jnana, yoga, and bhakti mature, you empower the living entities to directly realize you in each of your three aspects. Let's see what's on this next page. Okay. So we have this aspect is that because the living entity is an individual and they are misdirected, but it doesn't mean that they're not who they actually are. Right? The living entities still remain servants of the Lord. But now their attention is misdirected, because they want to engage the senses, but not in connection with the Lord. So then here, you know, he says, you awaken all energies after creating the intelligence and senses of the living entities. You inspire them to work hard and enjoy the fruits of their labor. Right? So then you have that aspects of the dharma, artha, and kama, that the living entity wants to use Krishna's energies, not connected to Krishna. So when they're not connected to Krishna, then you get end up with just that dharma, artha, and kama. Right? You know, like we were discussing yesterday, is that if it's connected to devotional service, it just is called devotional service. Right? You're engaging the senses. But if it's not, it's called sense gratification. And then there's sense gratification in dharma, in artha, and in kama. Right? And so they're inspired in this because that's what they want to do. So that we can see how kind the Lord is, as the living entity wants to function separately from Him, and still there's a plastic bag sitting on top of the plants. I'm trying to figure, what is that? Someone didn't quite finish their bag of chips, kept it there just for later.
Oh yes, I saw it yesterday also.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it blew there in the wind or what's there.
It looks like somebody put it, it's very exact.
Yeah, so unless there's something underneath that they're trying to protect or something with the plant, I have no idea. But
maybe decoration.
Could be, but yeah, we just put more of them around. You know, if somebody's far enough back, oh, very colorful, you know, is it flowers, that flowers are in bloom, you know, yes. I say, what do you say, Nasta? Yeah, Nasta fool. Nasta means like snacks or Right, so it's the flowers of snacks. Snack flowers. Unfortunately, no one on the Zoom understands what we're talking about. But there is some advantage. Yes. So then that aspect is that we're trying to, Krishna is giving us the opportunity to engage ourselves despite, you know, not being attached to him. Because the point is if you're talking about eternity, how long is the living entity conditioned? Right? It's a few moments. You know, if we're taking that Brahma's life is you know, 3/4 of a second, it's technically half of that. Because breathing out and breathing in is 3/4 of a second. So within 3/4 of a second is Brahma's life. But, you know, whatever it is in that. So that means, you know, even if you have, what do you call, say, 75 seconds, you know, a minute and a quarter, then, you know, that'll be 60 lifetimes of Brahma. You know, so the point is how long is the living entity illusion like this? But the point is Krishna arranges it like this so as quickly as possible the living entity comes to their natural position and then continues their progress towards prema. Right? Because the natural position is to develop that love, but if they get distracted, then they're not going for that. So then here now they get the opportunity to now be absorbed in the Lord again. Right? So that's what he says, is that they have this distraction, they want to work with the energies not connected to Krishna, therefore he awakens the energies, and then the Dharma, Artha, Kama then are functioning under the avidya shakti, because it's avidya that they don't see it connected to Krishna. Then the moksha and bhakti, these aspects, these are also awoken to pursue the progressive passive karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. And so then there, because there's that touch of chit potency, then they can progress. And as they put in their effort, then they get that, how do you say? Krishna gives that realization, like that, of their position. And so because they're putting into their efforts there, they're worshipping Krishna as Brahman, therefore he reveals himself as Brahman. They worship him as Paramatma, he reveals himself. They worship him as Bhagavan, he reveals himself. So all this is all by the Lord's mercy that he makes this arrangement. So that's the other thing that we were discussing yesterday. In the descending viewpoint, you're looking at it from Anandamaya. And then you're seeing the others progressing down. Right? While the other ones, you're looking at it from down and going up. You know, it's most of all Dharma, Artha, Kama, but they're going down. You know. Yeah? Okay. Oops. If the Lord were to ask for authoritative evidence to support this statement by the personified Vedas, they humbly reply, "We ourselves are the evidence. On some occasions, such as now, at the time of creation, you consort with your external Maya potency, whereas you are always present with your internal energy. It is at times such as the present, when your activity is outwardly manifest, that we, the Vedas, can recognize you in your play." Right? So when he manifests his pastimes, then we're able to see, we're able to appreciate. Thus endowed with authority by their personal association with the Supreme Lord, the Shudras promulgate the process of jnana, karma, yoga, and bhakti as various means for the conditioned souls to employ their intelligence, senses, and mind and vitality in search of the absolute truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.14 BBT purport. So all these can be used, even the karma can be used, the dharma, artha, and kama can be used. That's how you get karma yoga. Is that you perform, your senses are engaged in the Lord's service, so it's no longer sense gratification. It's devotional service. You're elevating yourself. There might be still that kind of identity or the preference or those some material desire, but because you're connecting it to Krishna, one is purified, one is advancing. That makes sense. Then in Jnana Yoga, then using more of the intelligence, the detachment, analyzing the world, seeing all these things, then one is engaging the intelligence in this way. The senses are doing less, and they're engaged. Right? Does that make sense? Yoga, then you're more absorbed in the Lord, until it gets to pure bhakti. Does that make sense? Like that. So, even within bhakti, you can say karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga, and then pure bhakti. Like that. But at the same time, as if the intent, that faith is there, we call that whole ladder bhakti. But we are going through these stages. Right? So, yeah. Yes.
Living entities, unless they take shelter of Krishna, they are not going to be happily situated no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. They try some things out, and but still ultimately, and then it's going to lead to frustration or dissatisfaction.
Yes.
So how do we understand this free will that Lord has allowed us to enjoy separate from Him? Because ultimately He is going to suffer. So is it, with one point of view, it looks logically that there is only one option with living entity, that he has to surrender and serve Lord.
Oh, interesting aspect. Interesting. So in other words, he's trying to point out we don't really have an independence. And so you want your pure, unalloyed independence. Why wouldn't we get that, you know? This is only a show of independence. We don't really have independence. Because everything is Krishna. There isn't anything separate from Krishna. We are also part and parcel of Krishna. But as he is individual and conscious, therefore all manifestations are also individual and conscious. He is perfect and complete. His emanations are perfect and complete. So it's just the way it is. We're dealing with Him. So this question comes up when we think we're separate from the Lord. But when we understand we're non-different from the Lord, then where does this question come up? But even being non-different, we're still an individual. Just like a drop of ocean water still has the same chemical composition as the ocean. But the drop is individual and small, and the ocean is great. And you can identify, this is the ocean. But it includes all those drops. So we're part and parcel of the Lord. Right? So you have to know who we are. Because in this, we're saying, yes, by logic, it was there. But that's still not acknowledging who we are. So it's with logic, it's not with understanding or knowledge or wisdom. Because we take it, if it's logical, then that's the pinnacle of authority. I saw it with my senses, I saw it with my own eyes, and it's logical. And if I saw it with my own eyes, even if it's not logical, it's still good enough for ourselves. You know? And so, you know, so that's the point, is that they're still in illusion, they're still under the Ajnana Shakti, because they don't know they're the soul, and even if they know they're the soul, they don't understand how they're part and parcel of the Lord. Yes.
I'm thinking also that the logic, it's very subjective.
Yes.
Say, for example, there's a parent's logic, and it differs from kid's logic.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Straight.
And then man's logic, you know, it's very different from lady's logic. So logic is relative.
Yes.
So Srila Prabhupada explains that the kid, he belongs to a good family. But his logic is, I wanna be separate, I want independent. So this is the logic. But for the parent, it's not logical at all.
No, not at all.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, very good. Yeah, because you have your own perspective. And, you know, on the level of consciousness, because you are an individual. But it's only when you bring that perspective in line with Krishna, then you actually are functioning in a natural position, because that's who we are. You know, it's just like the kid, he wants to make it, but he is part of that family. You know, he's saying, no, I want to make it on my own, you know. I don't want to just be recognized because, you know, I'm the son of my father. I want to make my own way, my own this and that. But the same time is, but at the same, he is part of that family. You know, and if you just go with that and be comfortable with that, then things would go so nicely. Otherwise, he goes through so much trouble for his so-called philosophy that, you know, it may or may not work out for him. Because the point is, you know, something's supposed to happen for you, and it'll happen in a certain way. You know, it's just like what was that guy, that the Crocodile Dundee guy. He was a painter on the bridge, I think on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. He's a guy just painting on there. You know, it's just a regular guy. And somehow or another, the person who was, I don't know in what capacity, was, you know, this idea for this movie, Crocodile Dundee, then they saw him and just thought, now this guy looks like what we want. And so they called him in for, you know, audition and all that, and it seemed to work. He's just a painter on a bridge, you know? So, and then he gets that, you know, while someone else is, because their father is a big actor, and so people notice, you know? But it's still going to be your own work. Even if it is, you don't want to make it because of your father, you still have to do it yourself, you know? Like, if you get the company, you still have to run it. You know, your father's a lawyer, you still have to study and become a lawyer. You know, he's a doctor, you still have to do that. You know? But it's this false ego that I'm special on my own. No one's special on their own. You know, we're special because we're part and parcel of Krishna. That's what makes us special. And just as we're special on our own because of being part and parcel of Krishna, everything else is special on its own. So then when we have that absolute perspective, the absolute logic, then it works. But like you said, otherwise it's subjective, and you have, you know, 8,400,000, you know, varieties of logic, you know, and then within that there's detail. Yeah, that's very far out. Nice. Thank you. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, sinful persons attract the attention of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.10. You know, that's basically our only hope, right? Thus, by addressing the Lord with ajita, they invoke the Lord's direct appearance. By addressing the Lord in this way, they invoke the Lord with form, in his swarup. He could not be called to appear if he did not have a form, right? Because Brahman is all-pervading, it doesn't appear. It's already there pervading everything. So then Bhagavan, even though he is all-pervading, but he's all-pervading as Brahman and Paramatma. Right? So Bhagavan means then, you know, he has his particular form that he interacts with his devotees. And he reserves the right to whom he reveals himself. But it's not that the Brahman is the cause of the person's there. So therefore, he says, if you say ajita and he appears, then he has to appear because he has a form. Not that a form is created. Scriptures say that the name is so powerful that even uttered in hatred or fear, or to mean something else, it has effect. Right? You'll always get purified. Now, when it's done without offense, and that will develop prema. But just chanting the holy name in any capacity, you will get purified. Like you were discussing yesterday. About the, you know, the yoga, people are chanting the holy name, but they haven't gotten it from actually the Vaishnava Sampradayas. So they will be purified, because it is the Yuga Dharma, and it's also the aspect, it's the essential point that's there in all the four yugas. All the four yugas that goes along with chanting. Like we see is Dhruva Maharaj was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So even they're doing meditation, they're still chanting. These results were previously proved by the experience of the learned and by scriptural statements. The tattva that appears to the eyes in the form of the vigraha appears to the voice as the same, since the sarupa of the name and the person indicated by the name are non-different. Contact with the name means contact with the vigraha. Elsewhere, the sutis describe the Lord by conventional and other uses of words, rudhi, using allusions, sanketa, and objects indicated by broad definitions. The names are the direct result of what the Shrutis state. So the Shrutis are, you know, so directly, indirect, all these different ways are all indicating the Lord. That's all they're talking about. Because there is only the Lord. There isn't anything else. Right? If that's all there is, that's all there is to talk about. Right? But it may be more obvious that you're talking about the Lord, or it may not, but that's all there is to talk about. So people who don't know think that there are different things to talk about. The Vedas talk about different things other than the Lord. But no, they only talk about, because that's all there is. There's only Him. Oh, Ajita, show your excellence, Jaya. This shows the Shrutis using the principal meaning of words, mukhya vritti, of the verb ji, to surpass, joined to the quality of excellence. Ji, to surpass. So whenever you use ji, it means to surpass. Joined, okay. Nate mahitvam anvasnu vanti. They do not know your glory. Rig Veda 7.99.1.1. Natat samas chabhyadikas cha drishyate. His equal or superior is not seen. Svetasvatara Upanishad. By showing their bhakti in uttering jai jai, the Shrutis understand that bhakti is the cause of the Lord appearing. By what action will I show my excellence? You show it by destroying maya and giving bhakti. Conquer maya, ajam jahi. So his appearance means then maya is conquered, because wherever there's Krishna, wherever the sun is, there is no illusion. Maya is a shakti with the functions of vidya and avidya. By destroying maya, I will destroy vidya also. Maya has accepted the quality of vidya, a cause of remembering you, with the fault of avidya, the cause of the jiva forgetting atma. By her covering, maya creates the fault of avidya, and sometimes, somewhere, somehow, maya leaves some jiva. There is thus fault in maya's quality of vidya, whose nature is making maya leave the jiva. Since maya has covered the jiva in the first place, thus better to uproot maya completely and give the jiva's bhakti to your lotus feet. Right? Because we're taking it that it's the knowledge itself that's there, knowledge that you are and knowledge that you're not. The point is that bhakti means is that you're just acting in that natural state. Like yesterday, you know, the point about Govinda. That it's abhideya, that action, that's the thing. So the knowledge is there, but the point is if you don't act, then what's the meaning? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Like you can go into the kitchen, you have knowledge of everything in the kitchen. You can talk about it and give classes and, you know, podcasts and everything like that. But until you cook, then what's the point? So that's why bhakti is beyond knowledge. Because it's just the inherent nature of the living entity, that devotion, that prema. That's the experience, because that's what people go for. Right? So, just like we were saying before with the psychology, is that that which is experienced, that's concrete to the living entity. That which is outside of that experience, that's abstract. So that also goes with the logic before, is that the parents have a particular experience, so it's concrete for them. But the child doesn't have that experience, not at least this life. And so they think, they apply their logic without that understanding. And so they come up with a different idea. So the parent, it's just like, let us say, the child is thinking, I want to be successful in life. And so then they try so many ways to be successful. Because they don't have experience, then they spend a lot of time not being very successful. And then with time, the parents become successful. I mean, you know, with time they become successful. right? And so the parents try to help the children not go through all those foolish things that they did and just get directly the point. So let's say, at 30 you start to figure out how things work. But that means from 20 to 30 you were, spinning your wheels, So therefore then the parents are trying to bring 30 down to 20. But because they have no experience, then the child thinks, no, that's not right. This is what you have to do. And so then they do the same thing. Spend their wheels. Then they'll go through the fun of trying to explain to their children how don't do this, and they'll speak, no, you don't know what you're talking about. So like that. Saw one visiting one. Yeah, one devotee's house, and a lot of times that when you visit the houses, they have the master bedroom and that, so they'll let you stay there, and then they move to the guest room or something like that. And so then I was in there, and then I noticed in the closet, on the cabinet, that it had a little poster. And the poster was addressed to the teenage child that, basically, is that, now as a teenager, since you know everything, because they always think they know everything, better now go out and get to be successful in life, move out of the house and that before you get, distracted by all the, the idiots in the family around you, called parents that you think are going to get in your way. Yes, so that's the thing, is that that's also the illusion here, is that we're talking about karma and we're talking about gyan. But the point is karma will be your religious processes, gyana will be, your intellectual processes, your knowledge. But both of these are given up when you talk about surrender to Krishna. Because it's not because of religion that I'm surrendering, not because of knowledge I'm surrendering. It's because of devotion that one surrenders. Having shown that the Lord is above Maya by possession of Shakti capable of destroying Maya, the Shrutis indicate the eternity, knowledge, and bliss, I guess, probably blissful or nature of the Lord. They use Tatparya Vritti with the aim of refuting non-existence, Atat. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam tu maheshwaram. One should know Maya, Prakriti, and the Lord, the controller of Maya. Svetasvatara Upanishad. Ajam ekam lohita shukla krishnam. The one unborn Prakriti is red, white, and black. Svetasvatara Upanishad. Sarvas ya di pati Sarvesya Sarvasye Shanaha. The Lord is the ruler of all, the controller of all. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Savai Esha Neti Neti. He is not this, not this. In praying to destroy Maya, you destroy my powers, which are Upadis. You have all powers called your Tripada Vibhuti, Sama Varudha Samasta Bhaga, by your Sarup Atmana. What use are the insignificant powers of Upadis? Right? So by his powers, the living entity is covered. By his powers, that covering is removed. And by his powers, even that covering that removes them is removed. And there's all that's left is bhakti. So then Krishna is beyond his Shaktis. Right? At the same time is, then he's always working with his Shaktis. So that acceptance of him beyond, and that our relationship with him is through that service in cooperation with the other living entities, the superior Shaktis, then it becomes perfect. So you're giving up, does that make sense? So prema means it's beyond working with the Shakti. Because otherwise, then that's what's going on in these things. And jnana, kriya, and icha, then you're dealing with the aspects of that I performed, and I with knowledge, I have a skill, I apply that skill, I get a result. But bhakti is beyond that. Right? That love for Krishna is beyond that, because it's not about getting the result for Krishna. It's about pleasing Krishna by offering a result. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we think it's about getting that result. You know? It's like, I'm cooking this preparation and I made it perfect, so now it's perfect. No, it's perfect because you do it in devotion. And that you try to make something perfect to offer to Krishna, that's the devotion. You know, that'll be an aspect of the devotion, but that you just got it perfect and that's all, then that's not actually the thing, because you'll find, oh, I got it perfect and everything. I know it's perfect. The offering is made, afterwards you taste the prasad, there's no flavor. Because it didn't please Krishna.
So can you say that's the level of liberation?
Yeah.
Perfect but no taste?
Yeah, perfect but no taste. Liberation. Perfect but no taste. Yeah, so that's the, it's also called, whenever it's called about perfection, it's meaning the liberation aspect. So, it means perfection, meaning for the jnanis and that, it'll be Brahman. For the devotees, it'll mean the other four forms of liberation. But bhakti is beyond perfection. Perfection is just a platform. So that's the point. That perfect cooking is just the platform from which to offer that bhakti. So one always has to see. So in the beginning, just you're doing anything connected to Krishna is going to give a nice result. But as one progresses, then that higher level of taste is only going to happen, or it develops because of your seeing it in context of Krishna. That it's actually done to please Krishna. Then you start to get that aspect. Does that make sense? Have you ever seen such a small lota? Yeah, I've never seen a lota that small. Pocket lota. So that's a very subtle point. You know, because we're always trying for, because if it's within the context of karma and jnana, karma yoga, jnana yoga, we relate to it. But bhakti is actually beyond that. And if it's in control, so it acts naturally. If you have bhakti, you already have the control of jnana and karma. That's why it's all inclusive. It's not another energy. It's the superior one. It's the one that makes everything else work. Set. Yeah. In the commentary in verse 38, Sridhar Swami says, quote, "The work of the Lord of a host of desire cows of continuous bliss and knowledge is not done by Maya. Your eight powers are not limited by time and space like others' powers. They are unlimited since they are related to your complete Swarup." Verse 38. I'm not sure which one is talking connected to. Unless it's these ones. Yeah, unless it's those. But I'm not sure if he did, because generally his is on Bhagavatam that we're, you know, at least familiar with. He might have done on Upanishads, but yeah, unless there's an overall one that this whole section is dealing with. You know, the Adhikarana is dealing with. Mm. Okay, we got 36. No, that's 36 of the Chatur Shloki. 38. Well, here's Brahma Samhita 38. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, beautiful dark complexion, filled with inconceivable qualities, whom the devotees constantly see in their mind during samadhi, permeated with prema. Was that 38? Is it 35? Unless 38 of the Chatur Shloki. You know, it means after the Chatur Shloki, two verses after, is mentioned or something. Or unless it's in 87:38. Yeah, I'm not sure where the beginning is of this Adhikarana. There we go, 4. Here's 5. Is it open with this? No, yeah, I'm not sure exactly which one it's referring to. So, yeah, point is he's unlimited, and they're inherent in his sarup. They're non-different from his form. Let's see. The word atmana means by your sarup, and bhaga means qualities arising from your sarup. Thus, the insignificance of Maya's qualities is implied. Words like sarup and ishwara can describe the Lord by conventional meaning to express the Lord's sarup or the qualities arising from his sarup. Right? Because his sarup means his form, and then his ishwara can mean the qualities arising from that form. Because he has his form, which means everything is there at the same time as all these energies put him in the position as a controller of these energies and of everything. So whatever we know, he's in control of that. So then the qualities come up. So we see as the sarup is the form, is the origin of qualities. So it says, yeah. And we see also in the performance of pastimes, then qualities is the prominent aspect. Right? Prayojana means the taste. But in performing, then there's qualities. Because you see the qualities that are there. Like all the different aspects of rasa, they're all different qualities. Right? And they give a specific taste. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yad atmako bhagavan tad atmika vyaktihi. What constitutes the Lord becomes manifest as non-different from him. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. The shaktis of the Lord are many. Sveta Satara Upanishad. The Srup Shakti is perceived by all. O arouser of all shaktis of the jivas with bodies. O kasham, either mobile, aga, or immobile, aga, or moving, jagat. You are an ocean with waves of various shaktis for the jivas. There is another meaning. By destroying Maya, the shakti of the jiva, and upadi of Maya will also be destroyed. The answer is the same. By the sarup shakti, the complete shakti, which gives happiness to the jivas, will appear. In this way, the shrutis indicate the tatastha nature of the jiva. Because right, they're either in that one, but if that's destroyed, the upadis, then they come to appreciate the sarup. Ko yevanyat ka pranyat yad esha akasha anando nasyat. Who could breathe if akash, the Lord, were not bliss? Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7. Pranasya pranam. The Lord is the life of prana. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.18. Tad evam bhantam. Fire shines following the shining Lord. Katu Upanishad 2.2.15. Dehante devas tarakam brahma vyachaste. At death, the devas spoke of Brahman. Nrisingatapa in Upanishad 1.7. Yasya deve para bhakti, tata deve tata gurao, tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. For the person who has bhakti for the Lord and bhakti for Guru as much as the Lord, the meaning of scripture is revealed. Sweta Sotara Upanishad 6.23. How do you know that my activities are not, Krishna must be saying, how do you know that my activities are not done by Maya? How do you know about my eternity knowledge and bliss and my qualities produced by my Surup Shakti? So then the Vedas say, we Shrutis, Nigama, in the form of sound and Devas, Sarve, serve, Anucharet, you who, in the form of the Purusha at the time of creation, Kwachit, play, Charataha, with Maya, Ajaya, and play eternally with your qualities arising from your Surup by your Surup Shakti, with the rasa of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, Atmana. Thus we know all of this. Positive case, charata of you who play, expresses the accusative case, we serve you who play. Yeah. Types of Shruti statements. This is what is said. There are two types of statements in the Shruti, indicating the Lord. Those dealing with the three gunas and those devoid of gunas. There are three types that deal with the gunas. The first type defines the gunas with the Lord as neutral support for the material world. Yato va imani bhutani. All these bodies arise from the Lord. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.1. The second type shows the glories of the Lord by describing rulership of devas in the three gunas. Indro yato vashishtasya raja. Indra is king of all beings. Rigveda 1.32.15. The third type indicates the highest entity by negating the three gunas. This has two types, by negation, nisheda, and by equivalence, samanya dikaranya. An example of the first type is astulam ananu neti neti. The Lord is not heavy and not small. He is not this. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.7.8. An example of the second type is sarvam kalvidam brahma. The Lord is everything. Tattvam asi, you are this. In the statement sarvam kalvidam brahma, Brahman is indicated and revealed because the universe comes from him. Sad idam, the Lord is the universe, means that pure Brahman is the world in the sense that it is his amsha. By stating the oneness of Tat with Tvam, Tat is indicated as Brahman, with Tvam as the Shakti of Brahman. Oh, Tat Tvam, okay. Possessing consciousness. Without knowledge of Tat, knowledge of Tvam becomes insignificant. That is why Tat is used in the statement. In both cases, Brahman is beyond the three gunas. So here is the Tvam is the Shakti. And they're saying, I am that, but the point is you are that, but as Shakti. Yeah.
But they say the Brahman is devoid of Shakti.
Yes, so that's why they have a problem in understanding these things. So even their Mahavakya is actually showing what is the actual philosophy. All the Vedas are only expressing what's actually the reality. All of them are just explaining what is the absolute truth. And they're saying all these different parts, how he's not this or he is that, and all these different things. Yeah? Okay. Yeah? By stating the oneness of Tat... Oh, no, we just read that. Okay. There, where the qualities of the Lord are clearly understood by negating the three gunas, it indicates Bhagavan. Where the qualities are unclear, it indicates Brahman. In this way, Shruti statements dealing with the three gunas have been explained. Right? So they're describing how he's the source of these things, how he's controlling them, and how he's beyond them. And so if it's not clear how he's beyond, then it's Brahman. And if it's clear, then that's Bhagavan. Right? Okay. Where the qualities of the Lord are clearly understood by negating the three gunas, it indicates Bhagavan. Okay. Where qualities are unclear, it indicates Brahman. In this way, Shruti statements dealing with the three gunas have been explained. This explains how the Shrutis serve the Lord playing with Maya. Ajaya Charanta. So then his interaction with Maya and all that, then that's explained in this way. That he's beyond, but at the same time it's through his energies that he's controlling. The Shrutis dealing with the Lord beyond the gunas are of two types. Those dealing with Brahman and those dealing with Bhagavan. For instance, Anando Brahma, Brahman is bliss, Taittiriya Upanishad. Natasya karayam karanam cha vidyate, natat samas cha bhyadikas cha dhrishyate, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate, swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. He has no body and no senses. No one is equal to him or higher. His supreme power is manifold. His actions are naturally revealed with knowledge and strength. This indicates Bhagavan with Shaktis. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 6.8.
Why would the Shrutis be of those two types? To suit the believers or the deluders?
Well, because you have that's more directly and more indirectly. You know, because that's the thing, is that you know the Lord from the Chaturshloki directly and indirectly. Mm-hmm. So, being everything, then everything, you can know the Lord. And so then whatever the position that you're taking, you can know him through any of these positions. Right? And so then one's trying to come to, but the point is you're trying to get to the appreciation of Bhagavan. And even here you see is that dealing with Bhagavan is you're establishing his position, but then there's also going to be beyond that where it's about that affection for the Lord. You know? So in any case, we are thinking that the material world is separate from the Lord, but it's actually not. And so you're going to show how the Lord is connected with everything. You know, so in Gita, three chapters, and, you know, focus on this, giving example, you know, of all the universal form and everything. So all of these things are going to be... all of these things are useful. Since everything is Krishna, therefore the Shrutis are going to talk on how everything is connected to Krishna. So some will be talking more about these indirect aspects and some will be talking more direct. So in other words, one is you're talking about how he's above. The other one, you're talking about him, how he's connected, you know, his connection with. It means he may be controlling the material nature, but he's still transcendental. Well, the other is they're just talking about how he's beyond and everything like that. So... okay. This explains how the Shrutis serve the Lord, playing with the Surup Shakti. Atmana Charataha Hare Krishna. In this way, the activities of the Shrutis have been accomplished. And the Nirguna statements directly serve the Lord by their nature. Statements dealing with the three gunas serve by indicating the Lord only. In order to negate Maya, its gunas are described. Later, Maya is completely rejected, and the qualities of the Lord's Surup are directly indicated. Right? So you're dealing with both. We're perceiving the material world, so you're showing it in context of the Lord. You know, because you want to point out the Lord, but since we see material energy, from the material energy, we're showing the Lord. And the other one just directly shows the Lord. So direct and indirect. Right. Yes?
That verse, that 38,
mm-hmm.
in the beginning of the Anucheda 114, the prayers of prayers of the personified Vedas from 14 to 41, that 38, Maharaj.
Which anucheda?
14 to 40. It means
anucheda
in this
114.
In this 114. In this
verses 14 to 41.
We didn't get to anucheda.
We started with 14. Because that they do, victory, victory. Oh, you're just meaning within the prayers of the personified Vedas.
Yeah.
Oh, because that was mentioned before. That the prayers are from 14. There was one place where he mentioned they're from 14 to
41.
And so therefore in verse 38, so then that should be put into a footnote or something, or that should be shown. Also a few of these others were...
DBT, in the DBT purport?
In the BBT purport.
BBT purport, it says text 14 to 41.
Okay, so then it's mentioned. So it must be something that's more commonly known. Also then in that previous one, where it says, what is it here? I don't remember where it was. But it was saying about, you know, some definitions were given.
Mentioned at start of vritti. Mentioned at start of vritti.
That's there. But now, okay, I give you another verse. Very important verse when we're writing these things. It's called Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya, like this. It means we have short memories.
Yes. You already forgot.
Yeah. So that's why you have to keep repeating it. And also, it's not like if you just sat down and just read it straight through, then you might see and kind of remember it there. But since the time we read that vritti to now, it might be some days go by. So that's why again and again, it's just like it mentioned, he gave a list of that these particular kind of statements and how it's going to be. But then it doesn't say what they are. And that can also be mentioned.
People who are very smart, it's very hard for them to write for less intelligent.
No, it is. I know that was a big problem. Like that, because their thing is, of course, yeah, they can't work that out, but that's the whole point. We're working it out. It's like, you know, they can't take the peel off, they can't eat around the seed, but our point is no, just give the mango. Okay. It's already tough enough as it is. Like that. So, for those who have that intellectual ability and all that, then they'll work with that. But you have to appreciate that others don't know. That's why, you know, it goes along in like a nectar devotion. You know, two chapters, three chapters, five chapters later, it says, just as in, you know, this verse, it's, you know, and so it goes on. But we need the verse in the footnote. Otherwise, we don't remember what the verse was. It means if you do... Is that everybody does, then we know that we've come a long way. When the teacher and the students are all shutidars, then we know the golden age is here. But until then, you know, there's still some remnants of the pre-golden age aspects. So that's all. So as much as connection as you can make, you know, it's just the sangati, the better. Because hearing it again and again and again, then it starts to soak in. Because by memorization, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen because of long-term memory. It's not going to happen because of short-term. Because if you're vata, you'll catch it, then you'll forget it. And if you're, pitta, then you may remember it, and you generally don't forget it, and that's why they always think everybody else are idiots. You know, let's say, a particular personality sitting on the eastern side on the third floor of the chakra building, you know, in his residence there. He was the primary example, like that. And then you have those of the kapha constitution that they just don't remember anything because you say it, it just doesn't catch. But once they do catch it, they'll never forget it. That's an elephant. Right? So, therefore, you keep repeating it like that, you know. And of course, if we're going to offend those who are super intelligent and catch all these things in a moment and can't tolerate the lack of intelligence of everybody else, we'll take our risks that how many people like that are there. And there's a good chance that they don't come to our class anyway because it's not inductive enough for them. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And preferably the teacher should be which among those three?
Whatever they are, means how you say? I'll show you the teacher. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. For the person who has bhakti for the Lord and bhakti for the Guru as much as the Lord, the meaning of scripture is revealed. Svetas Saptar Upanishad 6:23. That's the teacher we want. So that defines that. Okay, then the Nirguna state must directly serve the Lord by their nature, because they're talking about how he's beyond. Yes?
I just wanted to comment on the point is that in academia it is expected that the teacher memorizes everything and just shoots the verses, shoots the whatever, just like that. But I've seen that the teacher builds such a deep relationship with his students that they actually help him to teach the classes.
Yes.
And it's a completely different dynamic, which is very attractive, actually.
Yes.
It's
yes.
not a one-man
show. Yeah.
It's the group dynamic, which is very, they help one another.
Yeah, because that's the whole point. Is that you see, is Narad Muni ask a question, and Lord Brahma says, "Thank you for asking such a nice question," because it gives an opportunity to say. You see that happen many times in the Bhagavatam. So the point is it's a dynamic, because someone becomes perfect by speaking, someone else becomes by hearing. You know, so this thing is, yes, they should know everything. That's ideal, that's nice. But at the same time, is even we take that perfection, how well is that working out for the professor? He's sitting down there in that little auditorium with 300 students. Why it's 300, but it's always 300, big unit, it's always 300 in that group. How many are listening? The guys in the front row are listening, you know, because they chose to sit there. They could have sat in the back, but everybody else knows is listening. So even he's firing it off. So unless there's some other aspect of personality that by his personality he catches their attention, no one pays any attention. I mean, if you think about it, all the teachers that you've ever studied under, you know, right from whatever it is, nursery on right up, however far one went, how many do you actually remember?
Two.
Yeah, that's the point. I remember my third grade teacher, but all I remember about him is that hair on his knuckles. He was very hairy on his knuckles. Like that. And then sixth through then seventh grade, I think I kind of remember the teachings of the teacher, because he really liked Shakespeare. And so he could give that taste to the students. Then then the wood workshop teacher, because he expected discipline and people to behave properly. So even if you weren't in your class, if you can't, like one day I was walking down the hallway, and somehow or another, you know, as kids, idiot kids do, I'm just kind of like banging on the wall. And that's all right as long as the wall is brick. But then when it comes to the wood shop, because it appears that it was they just put up a wooden wall and made the shop. It was something else originally. And so then it turns into wood. So I'm knocking on the wall as I'm walking. And then I get down to the door. And when I get to the door opens. There's the teacher. So immediately one's inside and doing some, you know, following some, you know, activities of discipline. And then the metal shop teacher, because he would encourage you to do, what do you call it? That you should find what you want to do in life. Like that. Then, and the same with the wood shop teacher in high school. And then the art teacher also. He was interested in what you do. Because I remember when you, if you're checking out of school, you have to get all the teachers to sign you out. You know, so when I became a devotee, then you went in and checked out. You know, we'd already done the exams, but you still had 3 weeks left before the graduation. And so I had to actually go around to each teacher, and they had to sign out. And I remember when I went to the art teacher, he says, you know, you're going off for this. If you find this good and it's something really valuable, you have to come back and tell me.
You know? Did you?
No, because I've never been back to that place since I joined. Like that. But yeah, maybe I should look him up. Right?
Maybe he would have joined.
Yeah, maybe he's already joined. Yeah. And that's it. So you see, it's of them, then 1, 2, 3, 4. Four were practical teachers. They weren't academic teachers. Two of them were academic teachers. But one liked to teach the kids and was very happy to see them progress. Like that third grade teacher. So in third grade, they taught cursive writing. You know cursive? You know, where the letters connect together and all that kind of thing. So before that, you know, first grade, they teach you to print. And second grade, you try to get it so it's legible. And then third grade, then they introduce cursive. So somehow or another, at the first grade, you know, I knew the printing, so I myself got into the cursive. And so, but I found that the printing was better because it was more readable. You know, it was more exact and everything like that. So in third grade, I went back to printing. But the teacher was fine with that, because he knew I already knew cursive. So it's not that, no, here's the curriculum, you have to do that. He just was happy to see the students progress. He'd come around while you're working, come and see, and, you know, be happy, you know, going and point out what you're doing. And he had that attitude. So, like you're pointing out, it's the relationship with the teacher that matters. It doesn't matter how smart the guy is. Like that. If he has a relationship and he can somehow or another interest you and take you through the subject matter, that's success. Right? But and in here, as we mentioned, then if you have that faith in Guru and Krishna, then you'll be able to teach the subject matter. You know, just like that that Brahmin in Sri Rangam, who is illiterate, he could teach everybody there in Sri Rangam. He's qualified, even though he was illiterate. So that's what we're looking for. And the other things, yes, that other is nice and all that, and it so-called impresses the academics, but in one sense it really doesn't impress the academic, because all the time some academic is going out and finding these other things that we were just talking about and showing that that's the real thing that makes the teacher. So the teachers on the top that actually run the system are more impressed with that. And those who are trying to, how you say, those who are just the status quo, then they're not going to get interested. And then those who, you know, how you say, are trying to present themselves like that, then, you know, they're doing status quo, but no one really likes them. Does that make sense? Like that. Statements dealing with the three gunas serve by indicating the Lord only. In order to negate Maya, its gunas are described. So they're indicated. The indirect is also is showing the Lord, but it's showing through how he's not Maya, how he's in control of Maya, how Maya can't, you know, actually give any benefit and all that. Later, Maya is completely rejected and the qualities of the Lord's Sarup are directly indicated. So they'll be first indicating indirectly in the context of the modes, then they'll remove the modes and then directly give. That's why you saw the last kind in the third group, the last kind, was very similar to this other group. Other group? No? Yes, okay. Means there were, it had mentioned that there's two kinds, the direct and indirect. You know, dealing with the modes and not dealing with the modes. And in dealing with the modes, then there were three kinds that I've already forgotten. Okay. three types that deal with the gunas. First type defines the gunas with the Lord as a neutral support for the world, how everything comes from the Lord. Second type shows the glories of the Lord by describing how he controls the devatas, how he's above, you know, the sun and moon, and they're doing their duties, you know, the, what do you call it, the, everybody is afraid of the Lord. You know, Yamaraj does his duties, Indra does his, everybody, you know, they show his lordship. Third type indicates the highest living, highest entity by negating the three gunas. And so above these gunas, then is him. So it's talking from here and then pointing out him. The other ones just directly talk about him. Right. Yes?
When we say about this progression,
yes.
Can we say the progression is inside each Veda? Like from Samhita, Brahmana?
I would think that all, means all, because he's saying all the Shruti statements are of three kinds. And so all of these, the Samhita, the Brahmana, the Aranyaka, and the Upanishad, they're all Shruti. So then they'll take these forms.
So it's, I was more thinking about gradual progression from where to where, inside the Vedas.
Means different, like we were seeing, remember in the Vedanta Sutra, that they were talking about the Chandogya Upanishad. And in there, there's some particular verse that is, the Mayavadis are using it to indicate the impersonal as the absolute. But they're ignoring the earlier part of the chapter and the latter part of the chapter, which then are talking about the person. So in other words, it will move through these, depending upon the conversation, who's being discussed, how the point is being approached. Then you'll start at different places. So we're so used to this second type, you know, which is just directly indicating the Lord and all that. Same time, so we don't even necessarily make the distinction, which is fine, because it's the Lord what we're talking about. So that why it sometimes is a difficulty to first adjust to the idea that you can talk about these indirect aspects of the Lord and it's not impersonalism. You talk about the Brahman aspect, but it's not impersonal because you're seeing it in concept with him. Like that. Right? Just like, yeah. So that's good because then we're seeing it more from that descending process. Just by habit, we don't know. So without knowing the science or without having that complete faith in Guru as much as the Lord, then sometimes devotees will read other things and then they'll see these indirect aspects and then they get bewildered. Like that. Does that make sense? But, so, depending upon the conversation, they'll be going constantly again and again. Like you see, you're starting basically at the beginning with Kardama Muni and going to the end, then you get to the next conversation, you start at the beginning again, go to the end. So, it's, but at the same time, it's each conversation is kind of progressing a little further, you know, so there's kind of an overlap. That makes sense? But at the same time, it's like 11th canto, to give evidence, they go back to sometimes first canto, sixth canto, fifth canto, like that, because it's already been introduced. So each one already brought it there, but it may not have emphasized that point. It means it brought it out, it gave it as a solid point, but it may not have gotten into much discussion on it. Well, in the 11th canto, all those concluding points, that is the discussion. Is that... So, Yes.
In Vedas or any other scriptures, while there are not many shlokas describing living entities' activities after liberation, means serving.
And what will you do with that?
Because everything defines still liberation, so.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what will you do with that? So that means it's just like. Means we're talking about, you know, there must be equality here, you know. You know what. Why, you know, why is it that we're only putting this much salt but so much sugar, or, you know, things like that? Why aren't they equal? Right? Does that make sense? Like in your sweets, there should be the same amount of salt as sugar. You know, the same amount of flour, the same amount of water, everything should be the same, right? So, what will you do with that knowledge?
It becomes easier to establish logically that Bhagavan is superior and serving Lord is superior aspect than just liberation.
But how does it become? You're saying that it's more logical, but the point is what's your logic? What's it based on?
You put faith in Vedas, so Vedas
only. Yeah, okay. Let us say, okay, Radharani, one of her associates, mentions about the nice form of Krishna. Right? And so, what's the result? Okay. Then another of her associates explains about the wonderful qualities of Krishna. What happens? Yeah, she develops love for Krishna. And someone talks about his wonderful pastimes. Same thing. And she thinks she's in love with three different boys. She doesn't know because she hasn't met Krishna, so she doesn't know that it's one person. Now, we've heard these same statements, and what happens to us? Nothing. So that's why I was asking, what's it going to do for you? You're saying, no, it's logical, it should be there. So even if it's there, whole 10th canto is there. So then? Have we surrendered? So what's the point of this logic? How is it that by this logic being there, that suddenly now you're going to surrender? Because even when they are presented, you don't surrender. So even if you increase more, you still don't surrender. So that's why all these other verses are there. Because you're still saying that it's logical. So therefore, if it's not logical, then you're not accepting it. So that's on the platform of bhakti, that's on the platform of jnana. So then, if there's so many verses on the importance of seeing the jnana in connection with Krishna, then why isn't that practical? Why isn't that the efficient way to go about it? You know what I'm saying? Because, see, that's what mental speculation means, is we can come up with anything. Oh, this is not that. Why there's more of this? Why not? But what's your reason for doing that? You know, it's like it's a good suggestion for Vyasadeva from your background and experience. Or it's a doubt. Oh, it doesn't show that, it shows more of this, so maybe this is more important. But Bhagavatam's all the pastimes of the Lord, the whole thing. And still we don't surrender. Bhagavad Gita, it's all Krishna and Arjuna and their interaction. We still don't surrender. Yes?
Those are ones, the Maharaj's mind is thinking that those are ones where Krishna enacted here in this world. So, in one sense, we know it is spiritual that while descending here and past times are spiritual, it's Goloka. We know that, we understand that, but we just think that those are past times enacted by Lord in this world. So, what happens after liberation if one particular aspect...
What past times are there? You want to know what the past times are going on in Golok. You don't even appreciate the ones going on here. And so, but you want to know more of what's going on over there. And why do you need to know what's going on over there? You want to know if it's any better, or you'd rather stay here, or...
Just to get inspired.
You know, do they get two milkshakes instead of one, or, you know, what's the difference? Why? You understand? Because you're going on and just saying, oh, it would be good or it would be nice, but why? You have to answer that why. So you're thinking about what can be thought about, but you're not thinking about why are you thinking about these things.
The other slokas bombard more and then our attention goes there. Liberation, liberation, liberation. So.
But how is Krishna's pastimes in Braja Vrindavan, in Boma Leela, how is that liberation? How is that liberation? You know what I'm saying? So you're putting your whole thing is, oh, if it's not in Goloka Leela, then it must be liberation. But you've come to that conclusion. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.